Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Reading from John chapter 8, beginning at verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those who believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man which hath told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So far we read this holy word, this word of Christ, while he was here on earth. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of it, and that God will teach us through it. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ, he who was given in thy love, thy so loving the world, that thou didst give him, thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Help us to know the need of all things from him and because of him, even as he spoke of those words of thy loving the world and giving him to be a Savior, giving him, as he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so he must be lifted up. But we know also that even there at that time he was a teacher, teaching Nicodemus, who would say, How can these things be? And who was told of the new birth? Who was told of his sin and of all of our sin? And we pray, Father, that we may have Christ not only as the one that we know died for us and was lifted up, as these people heard, but also that we might receive him as a prophet, as a teacher, as one that in his love, Lord Jesus, have said, As many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. And we pray that we may have all that we need today in every way to bring us both to repentance and faith. And then that we might have every blessing needed, Father, from thee, through and because of Christ, that we may have justification, our sins forgiven, that we might have sanctification, that we no longer want to live in sin, that we may have doctrine, we may have obedience, we may have in the church reviving. We pray for these spiritual things first and ask that we may have them even now. We pray, Father, also for the temporal needs. We give thanks when we have so much in abundance in this area, in nature, in freedom, in peace, when others are suffering. We pray for the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for the sick. We pray for the injured. We pray for those in older age. We pray for those who have lost their homes now in fire, others in earthquake, others in flood, some would win. All these calamities that have come in so many places. We pray that we might be taught through that also, even through thy judgments. We pray, Father, that the temporal losses may bring many to seek the eternal needs and not stay lost in that. We pray for our homes, pray especially for the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray for all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. As we look again at these words, both of Christ and those that spoke to him in reply, when he said, "The truth shall set you free," they said, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" We all need that. They needed to be set free at that time. We need to be set free today. I remember hearing a sermon over the radio in my younger years, in my teens. The title was "For Sinners Only." And that had some effect on me. I told the pastor that I had at that time that that sermon was good for me, necessary, and that I would like to hear more like that. But his reply was, he's preaching to a different kind of people. Are there different kind of people? Or is it true, like the psalmist said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Or like Paul asked the church at Rome, New Testament church, are we better than they? And his answer, in no wise, we have together become unprofitable. And as Paul also writes further in that same chapter, Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have today many that want to repeat the error that these people were guilty of when they said, "We have Abraham to our father." Christ said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me." They had done that in the past, and sadly, even after we read of them, as he spake these words, many believed on him. We read in the end of the chapter, they took up stones to stone him. They had, evidently, from time to time, wanted to kill him, and now they would soon try to do that again. And we know that in the end, they did kill him. They did demand of Pilate that he would die and give in to them when they said to Pilate, "If you set this man free, you are not Caesar's friend." And that made Pilate afraid. And he gave in to their wicked request, their wicked desires. Awful. We are much like that today. We may not think so, but as Christ said to Nicodemus, every one that does evil hates the light. We have to be set free from that hatred, hating the light. Just before the Lord Jesus said that to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, he said, "Men love darkness rather than light." What a bondage to love darkness. Love the evil way. Satan's way is the way of darkness. God's way is the way of light. As we continue here, as we said, toward the end of the chapter, we read how they took up stones. Here it gets worse along the way. First, they try to defend themselves and say, "We were never in bondage." In the 33rd verse, how do you say we have to be made free? They didn't know it. They were described as believing. How many today believe that have never repented, that have never thought differently about themselves when they hear the word? Many even know that others are guilty. Others are sinners. We have especially the plain picture in political parties. Others are wrong, not ourselves. They want to be voted for. They want to be put in office. They think they have the answer for a nation. But we, as Paul said, have together become unprofitable. And sadly, when one group or another is in office, very seldom that they do that which they promised and that which they should do, making many promises but either not able to perform it or fearful that some people won't want it. Whatever it is, it doesn't get done. And we go on. And often, the next election, the same story. Tell us what we got to do. Tell us, give us a raise. We have had that with our recent election. But will there be ears to hear from God, first of all, and from man as well, what needs to be done and what needs to be done rightly? There will always be those as well who want government to do wrong. We have that in our nation. I've mentioned it from time to time, many times. Our government has made a law that it's a right to kill the unborn in the mother's womb. Very contrary to the Word of God. We can see in the Old Testament what was done when someone injured a child in the mother's womb and how God spoke of it, what the punishment was to be meted. God tells us, thou shalt not kill, and it's part of His holy word, very much. We are going contrary to it, and we are getting further and further from the word in many different ways. We read the word of Christ, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder in regard to marriage. In the 1920s, there was 1 out of 7 homes that broke and were torn apart. Another 10 or 15 years, it was 1 out of 6. And then 1 out of 5. And years later, 1 out of 4. And then 1 out of 3. And now 1 out of 2. According to the census. The census tells us there's 2.4 million marriages a year. And 1.2, just half, of divorces in a year. And I know that some of those might include the second divorce, so I don't know if it's accurate to say 1 out of 2, as they did in that article. But we are in a sinful state. Something very wrong in our generation. And we don't know it. We must be set free from those terrible ways. For almost 400 years from our pilgrim forefathers, we knew it was wrong to murder the unborn. Just in these last 50 years, out of that almost 400, or almost 200 years from the time we became an independent nation, 1776 to 1973. Then 3 more years, it would have been 200 years that we knew it was wrong. Now we think we're wiser than they were before that, but we're not. As I said last week, we must not only continue to study the Word, to learn more, to move on, to go from believing to repenting to obeying and dig deeper even in believing more of who God is, trembling before Him, believing more of who we are in repentance and a godly sorrow. As I said before, we can be like the shallow ground hearers, just moved emotionally. That sermon I referred to a moment ago, for sinners only. I saw some sin, but not near all of my sin. I saw it much fuller, much more so 10 years later. I went on for those 10 years in what could be called a shallow ground hearer. I didn't continue to be set free. I thought, this is it, had an experience, that should be sufficient. Now I know that. It probably, as I said, the danger was increase in pride. Now I know. Now I've done this. Now I have this. But not enough to humble. Truly humble and know with the message of the word. For sinners only, 10 years later, I learned I'm only a sinner that can only sin. The Word teaches that. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That included all of these people in the audience of the Lord Jesus. But they didn't believe it. They didn't believe they were bound in sin. They didn't believe they were blinded to sin. Christ said, I know that you are Abram's seed. They were in the bloodline, but not as children of Abraham by faith, of whom Paul wrote, Abram believed on him who justified the ungodly. Abraham learned that. We don't know exactly when. We don't read it, all the details in Genesis, but in Romans 4, Paul refers to Abraham in that way. And here, Christ said what they were trying to do, but then in verse 40, which I have heard of God, that's what he is telling the people, the truth. He says they were angry because of that. He said, this did not Abraham. Abraham, Christ knew, submitted to the truth. That's part of our continuing. More and more submission till we finally come to that place, as Paul states in Romans 3, that every mouth may be stopped. All the world become guilty before God. I am guilty. Paul learned through all of it that he was the chief of sinners. He said, I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Sin revived and I died. He died to all the false hope that he had before that. And these people here that the Lord Jesus is talking about in this eighth chapter and talking to hadn't died to themselves, hadn't died to their own reputation that they thought they had. We are Abraham's seed. Abraham is our father. We have one father, even God. It was, as Paul would write also to the church at Rome, they going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believes. The church often, instead of continuing in God's word carefully, fearfully, trembling, becomes careless, proud. The church at Laodicea, the Lord Jesus said, you say you are rich and need of nothing. You are poor, wretched, miserable, naked, blind. The church, an established church. Christ sent a letter to the angel of the church at that place. Paul went to Galatia and he preached there, and there were those who became believers. But Paul had to later write to them and state, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This will I learn of you, received of the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit and now made perfect in the flesh? He is fearful of them. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he also said, where's the blessedness that you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and give them to me. There was a people that had had more blessing in the past than in the present. And we could ask the question, what about young people in such a church? What about people who were seeking the Lord? What would they learn from a church like that? They would learn the way of salvation by works. Received of the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. That took place in our nation in the 1700s. People became more and more formalist. the time of Edwards, even the young people, sometimes numbers of them came into the church. But when we read the history carefully, we find that it was more a works salvation than a faith salvation. One pastor, Mr. Parsons, made this comment: "I was more in love with my own works than I was with Christ." He came to recognize that. And that's what Jonathan Edwards preached against. He preached a number of sermons on faith, salvation by faith alone. And that's what Christ was telling these people. They needed faith in him, not in themselves. How easy we can have faith in ourselves. I think I'm right. I'm all right. Ask people sometimes, what's your relationship with the Lord? Oh, I think it's all right. Hopefully it is, but not always. And it is not right unless it has been made right. Unless there has been a right beginning in the Word and then a continuing in the Word till one is set free. As Christ said here, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth of our sin and repentance, terrible truth. It'll make us miserable. It'll make us weary and heavy laden when we come to believe it, see it, know it. Like John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, pictured Christian with a burden on his back. It did not fall off till he came to the cross. But the burden was there, and he knew it. He went through even the slough of despond, and many do. That's part of learning. It's a terrible thing if we don't want to learn it. That was true here with these before Christ. It was true earlier in his ministry. In John chapter 6, we read verse 59, "These things said he when he taught in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? And then the sad words further in the chapter, From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't continue. And we have the answer why. Further in this 8th chapter of John, the 44th verse, we read, You are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. We must come to recognize that, each one of us, delivered from the terrible power and darkness of Satan, the liar, the murderer. He is our master. We have chosen him when we love darkness rather than light, when we hate the light. As Christ said to Nicodemus, yes, it's a narrow way, as Christ said, but it's the right way. It's a blessed way. It's Christ's way. Make it your way.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.